All Things New, Commentary for the December 31st, 2022 Sabbath School Lesson. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. 2 Peter 3, verse 13. In the early 19th century, Captain William Miller, farmer and veteran of the War of 1812, began to seek understanding of his near-death experiences in the war. Seeking those answers, he ultimately came to two conclusions. He believed that the parousia was imminent, and he was preserved to spread that message to prepare people for Christ's advent. His itinerant preaching built an excited and dedicated following, and those people became known as Millerites, or alternatively as Adventists. Their zeal in sharing the warning of Jesus' soon return often caused them to be disfellowshipped from the established denominations, which only facilitated their gathering together to create their own fellowships, and the movement grew. But Captain Miller was setting dates for Christ's return, and therein was the demise of his involvement with the movement. The first date he set passed without event. While this was discouraging, he offered up that his calculations were wrong, and based on revised calculations, he stated that a new date in October of 1844 was when Jesus would return for his flock. This date, too, would pass with no parousia. Miller's followers were devastated. Many had sold what they owned to prepare to leave this earth with Jesus. Farmers had left their crops in the fields unharvested. How were they to move on from here? On top of that, those who had not been taken in by Miller's date setting laughed the distraught Millerites to scorn for their foolishness. Into this despair walked Hiram Edson, a lay preacher who offered up yet another explanation for why there was no parousia. He declared that instead of cleansing the earth, Jesus had entered the Holy of Holies in the heavenly sanctuary to cleanse it in a process that came to be known as the investigative judgment. A small band of Millerites coalesced around this new idea and eventually incorporated as Seventh-day Adventists in 1863, picking up Sabbatarianism along the way. Initially, the doctrines of the denomination were simple and focused on those two beliefs: Jesus is coming again soon, and keeping the seventh-day Sabbath is a blessing to those who observe it. But over time, the dogma of the denomination became much more complex and rigid. When I became a Seventh-day Adventist approximately a century after its incorporation, the denomination was still in the later stages of becoming. They had developed a global educational system of parochial schools and universities. They promoted an emphasis on health, training many thousands for healthcare careers, and promoting public health by opposing the use of tobacco, alcohol, and recreational drugs, as well as other health-destroying habits. They also promoted various types of vegetarianism as more healthy alternatives to eating. Taught as well was proper exercise and rest, the weekly Sabbath rest reminding us of the importance of the concept of rest from the very first weeks of creation. Eventually, much of this gelled into what is now known as the 28 fundamental beliefs. Whether this is a good development is a subject of much debate. Some feel we have nailed down what is understood too firmly, while others feel that there are still too many loose ends flapping in the disputational breezes. Nonetheless, this is where we are, as voted by General Conference sessions representing the global denomination. In a sense, before fully implemented as a full list of 28 items, the denomination announced this rigid solidifying of our doctrines at Glacier View Ranch in 1980, where a credentialed Seventh-day Adventist minister and educator was defrocked for challenging the boundaries of our faith concerning belief number 24 regarding the investigative judgment. This was a challenge that stretched all the way back to Hiram Edson's claims regarding the significance of the 1844 disappointment. Since this was a single rationalization that allowed the Adventists to persist past 1844, it was seen as vital to the denomination's continued existence. This may be an overreaction, since there is much in the remainder of our beliefs that are strong, commendable, and efficacious for continued denominational growth and advancement of the gospel around the globe. What seemed vital at the time of disappointment and public scorn does not seem so vital in retrospect, especially in the light of our maturing theology that had its beginning in the 1888 message of Jones and Wagoner. Deeply profound then, it was in some respects a rediscovery of Martin Luther's declaration of the grace that makes salvation by faith possible. The denomination defrocked Desmond Ford for questioning this belief, like Caiaphas, who proclaimed Jesus must die for the sake of the nation. They agreed that Ford must be disposed of for the sake of the denomination. This was an astonishing step to take, since the denomination had weathered challenges on doctrines in many areas, including this one, without such a drastic response. The turmoil surrounding the publication of the book Questions and Answers on Doctrine being one of several examples. In the end, they did not silence Desmond Ford. He continued to publish and speak until his death in 2019. Instead, it revealed how fragile is the denomination's position regarding the almost 200-year-old record of the statements of Hiram Edson, who, unlike Ellen White, and except for this one singular incident in 1844, was not a great guiding founder of Seventh-day Adventism. His claim was picked up and trumpeted by more gifted individuals who saw in it the opportunity to refute the claims of the naysayers who laughed at their disappointment. As time has gone on, there has been less and less need for that defense. Most Christian denominations now recognize that the parousia is a biblical promise yet to be fulfilled, possibly imminent, impossible for us to precisely predict, but nonetheless declared in Christ's words, "I will come again." This alone is enough to justify the existence of any Adventist and provide a message to proclaim. It is the essence of the gospel, and it should be the essence of our preaching and our being as well. It still carries the idea of urgency, even after the passing of two centuries. For if it seemed urgent then, how much more so 200 years on? This return is a blessed hope so often spoken of. It should be our hope, and it does not depend on buying into esoteric, dogmatic trivia for realization. I surmise there may be plenty of people who welcome Jesus with open arms who never even heard of the investigative judgment doctrine, along with those Seventh-day Adventists who could not even explain its intricacies, yet are still taken into the arms of Jesus at his coming. Jesus said we must become as children to be saved. Children are not known for creating complex theological structures to define their faith. Their faith is simple, based on love and trust in Jesus. While the pall of Glacier View has hung heavy over this quarter's lesson study, there remains a direct conflict with some of modern Christianity that has been highlighted and has little to do with that peculiar Adventist belief. The conflict I'm referring to is the belief by many that at death they pass immediately to heaven. I say heaven because I have never heard anyone preached into hell at a funeral. It is always heaven. Some believe we become angels. Some may believe we become demigods in our own right. But the problem is, if we go immediately to heaven, what point is there in Jesus returning for us later? It is possible that some may be confused about what is to take place. They may not have read Paul's letter to the Christians in Corinth about what will happen when Jesus returns. He states that those who have died in Christ are sleeping in their graves, awaiting his return. They are sleeping in the blessed hope of the resurrection to come. But that does not agree with what many preachers are teaching their flocks. Pop theology has gotten so far astray that some are even preaching pets into heaven across the rainbow bridge when they die. It is a view popularized in the animated movie All Dogs Go to Heaven. There is nothing in Judeo-Christian scriptures to support that idea. It is nice that when we think of heaven, we tend to equate it with nice things we have known here, our favorite pets, beautiful gardens, and wonderful people we have known. But the beauty of heaven is not in perpetuating the shadows of beauty we have seen here. C.S. Lewis felt that were we to experience heaven now, its intensity would be more painful than beautiful to our senses. Perhaps that is why Paul said we would need a corporeal change to harmonize with heaven in that letter he wrote to Corinth. I see our biggest challenge as a denomination is to prepare a people for the hope of heaven. It is not to haggle over esoteric points inessential to our salvation for our entire lives and then to be preached into heaven at our funerals. While Adventists agree with Paul and do not preach people immediately into heaven at death, we don't do much better when we preach that the person is certainly resting in their grave with the hope of a similar result at the parousia. Instead of preaching the dead into heaven, we would do far better to preach them there while they are living, and it can do some good. This does not mean picking at what we feel are their flaws to purify them for heaven. There is entirely too much of that already. Too many self-styled prophets think they are the special ones God has given spiritual discernment to. They're all too eager to usurp the Holy Spirit's work on our behalf and point out our many sins. The greatest message we can share to prepare others for heaven is how to be more loving. For love is the image of God, the image we were created to bear, the image we will display in heaven. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, along with the footnotes giving the scriptures that support the ideas shared in this commentary, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds of other commentaries and podcasts at that location. May God richly bless you and your family.